Well, hello again, and welcome to another Battlesite for Christ radio broadcast right here on the Just Jesus Radio Network. Ooh, it's some joy. It's a real privilege to be able to come to you through this way. Oh, and I pray that you'll examine my site, too, for there are many messages on there, plus other things that you might wish to know about concerning the glory of God. Today we continue on with part two of, it's a sad commentary, but nonetheless, I invite you to listen in, part two, Mama's Gone to Hell. Mama's Gone to Hell. Oh, your mama isn't gone to hell, is she? You don't want to think so, do you? Well, you know, mamas are the same as anybody else's, daddies and children. If we don't give our lives over to Christ, believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, then that's where we all go. It's not a pretty picture to even envision, is it? No, not at all. Please stay tuned, and we'll finish off this message today, and I pray that you'll get a blessing from it in some way. All right? Okay. Well, you know, ever since the fall of Adam and Eve in the garden, wickedness has become, well, second nature to mankind. Just being bad and doing the wrong thing. It's second nature. It's a nature that is part of who you are. But when you become a new creature in Christ, that old nature is fully realized. And you are strengthened by the indwelling Holy Spirit so that all old things are passed away. And behold, all things become new, just the way God wants you to be. Isn't that exciting? Oh, to know that beyond a shadow of a doubt, if you were to die today, you'd open your eyes in glory in the presence of Almighty God, simply because you believed in the gospel of His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, what happened at Calvary. People, ye are without excuse. We are without excuse. The presence of God is everywhere. In the morning when you rise up, throughout the day when you put yourself through whatever it is you must do, and in the night when you lay your head down. Remember this. No one can curse God unless they believe in Him. Have you got that? No one can curse God unless they believe in Him. In the book of Job, Job lost everything. Personal belongings, land, livestock, even his children. But what did his unsaved wife say to him? What did she say to him? Did she comfort him? No, she said, curse God and die. Wow. Can you blame her for saying that? Well, maybe not. After what she went through, imagine the losses in her life. Did Job hold fast to his beliefs after hearing that? Oh, yes. Through it all, Job kept his faith, even when all was against him. His most adamant proclamation was stirred indeed when he said in Job, the book of Job, chapter 19, verse 26, when Job said, and though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. In my flesh shall I see God. Wow. Do you have the faith of Job? God doesn't ask you to show the faith of Job. But do you understand? And do you feel if things that happened to Job had happened to you, that you'd still maintain your faith? But what God does ask, not that you have the faith of Job, but that you have the faith as a grain of mustard seed. And then you can do great and wonderful things. Do you know what a grain of mustard seed is? It's probably the smallest seed you can imagine that you can still see. They're very tiny. But God says you have the faith of a grain, one grain. Then you can do great and wonderful things. Wow. A wise man once wrote, "The heathen who has never heard the gospel or the name of Jesus is as responsible to anyone else, not for failing to accept a message he had never heard, but for rejecting the knowledge of God revealed in creation." Let me say that again. The heathen who has never heard the gospel or the name of Jesus is as responsible as anyone else, not for failing to accept a message he has never heard, but for rejecting the knowledge of God revealed through creation. So there you go. We are without excuse. Definitely. We can't say, "Well, I never heard the gospel." Well, are you seeking God out? Do you believe there's a great power out there? And you're seeking Him? Well, I'll tell you this. Seek and ye shall find. He's waiting to hear from you. Oh, yes, He is. Definitely. Remember this. People don't go to hell because they never accepted Jesus as their Savior. Simply stated, people go to hell because they are sinners. If you weren't a sinner, it wouldn't matter. But we all are sinners. When Adam and Eve first sinned, then everyone to follow would inherit that sin nature. They set the pattern, unfortunately. Now, for this cause, God had two choices. He could start all over and recreate everything anew, including man, or He could provide Himself a lamb for the slaughter. A lamb for the slaughter. You know, this is so divinely outlined when Abraham took his son Isaac up into the hills as instructed by God. Imagine this now, taking his only son Isaac up into the hills because God instructed him to be sacrificed on an altar. Now, He didn't tell the boy that when they went up to the hills. After God had not intervened, Abraham would have slain his son. This was a type of Christ. If you look at Genesis 22, verse 8, you will read, "And Abraham said, My son, God will provide Himself a lamb for a burnt offering." Himself, of course, being Jesus Christ. This was an answer to Abraham's son who asked his father, "Where was the burnt offering?" And that's what Abraham replied. "My son, God will provide Himself," speaking of Jesus, "a lamb for a burnt offering." My question to you is, if God would give His only begotten Son to shed His precious blood for the sins of the whole world, couldn't we at least acknowledge this? Bow now or beg later. It's all up to you. bow now or beg later. Now, this may be a somewhat crude example. My apologies to the Lord Jesus here. Imagine for a moment you slipped and fell into a mud puddle. First thing you'd want to do was to take a bath. Well, normally, anyway. Now, imagine for a moment you slipped and fell into sin. Okay? Sin is that mud puddle. Okay? You fell into sin. The best thing for this is a blood bath. A blood bath. My whole point should be obvious. It's simple. It's a simple thing to take a shower to clean the outside of your body. And yes, it's also a simple thing to come to Jesus and clean the inside of your soul. Think about it. Think about it. Remember, at the beginning, I was telling you how we are without excuse. Because the Lord God reveals His presence in so many, many ways. And remember how you don't always have a preacher to relate God's written word to you. Why do you think you have so many missionaries going out into the world with the gospel? Why? Because there's somebody, maybe more, in that remote village or community or camp that's got a searching heart. People who believe by faith that there really is a greater force. There is a God. Hey, can you imagine if you were brought up in a jungle environment, you never went into a village, you never saw anything else but what's around your camp or in the river or in the trees, and you wondered, where did this all come from? And you ask your parents, your grandparents, friends, where did that tree come from? That beautiful tree. And where did all the fish in the river come from? Huh? What would your answer be? If you didn't know God, you'd simply pass it off and say, don't ask stupid questions. But if you're a believer in Christ, a believer that there is a God, then your answer would be, our unknown God. That's if you lived in a jungle environment and never heard of the gospel. That's probably what you'd say, our unknown God. Maybe you'd use another term. You see, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 tells us, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Well, faith is a wonderful thing. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Did you get that? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. You know, there's no shortcut to heaven. No. You can't take a back road and come out miles ahead of where you normally would have. There's only one way. You can't buy your way there either. You can't earn your way there by doing all kinds of good deeds like so many people do today. Give money to the poor. Go and fix somebody's broken porch. You can't earn your way. You can't inherit it from a wealthy relative. And you can't steal it. But you can claim it. How? Well, I'm glad you asked. By believing in Jesus Christ, that He suffered and died, shed His precious blood on Mount Calvary's cross, and then rose again on the third day. It's that simple. It's that simple. You know, when you stand before Jesus at the great white throne judgment, and you will, it's appointed unto men what's to die. By the way, this includes you too, ladies. It's appointed once to die. And then the judgment. And then the judgment. When you stand there before the great high priest, weak-kneed, crying and begging for mercy, it will be too late. The mercy gate will be closed, and you will have no excuse. There's no sense thinking, well, I'll bargain with Him. I'll tell Him I'll be good from this time forward. I'm sorry. Too late. The mercy gate will be closed. No excuse. Guilty as charged. The sentence, eternity in the lake of fire. Eternity in the lake of fire. That's a sad, sad commentary. Can you imagine eternity in a lake of fire where the worm dieth not? The worm, of course, is the mind. You'll know why you're there. You'll know why you're suffering. But you will not be consumed. You will continue to suffer. What price is this, you may ask? Just for denying Christ? Well, yes, that's it. But see, Christ has given you a way out. That's why God sent His only begotten Son. So we would have that way. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the verse you have to memorize. That's the verse you have to hold dear. That's the verse that's going to make a difference as to where you will spend eternity. So you are without excuse. Without excuse. When we, as witnesses in the great high court, and we will be, hear a screaming relative or friend, or even someone we don't know, and they are standing before Christ for sentencing, the last thing you'll want is that they should point to you and proclaim, "Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me?" How are you going to feel if someone points to you and says, "Why didn't you tell me? Why? I never knew this." Sad commentary, isn't it? Don't you see? Don't you see? The day we got saved was not the day we just sat back and waited for the Lord's return. No. No. We are designated witnesses for Christ. It's our immediate task to bear witness to the Lamb of God. To tell others, even if it means one rejection after another, Don't forget, we don't do the saving. We just do the telling, the witnessing. Jesus commands us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Well, you might say, well, I'm not a preacher. I'm not an evangelist. I'm not going out there in all the world. What good am I going to do? No, you don't have to. There's people right in your own backyard or maybe right in your house who need to know more about Jesus Christ. And you can tell them if you have the faith of a mustard seed. You can tell them. If you don't, and you knew all along, you could have, it's going to be a hard cross for you to bear, thinking, if only I had witnessed to them, if only I had given them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh yes, they did laugh at me once in a while when I tried to talk about the things of Christ, but I can't just accept that as an excuse. No, I must continue. I must go on. I must keep the faith and do what's expected of me. Tell them, tell the whole world that Jesus is Lord and that Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross for those sins of the whole world, not just mine, not just yours, but for the sin of the whole world. Did you just kind of sit back within the day you got saved and say, well, that's it, I'm free and clear, I know where I'm going. Oh, those people out there, you know, hanging out in the bars and frolicking up and down the street and doing this and that. Well, feel sorry for them. Well, if you feel sorry for them, get out there and do something. And if you can't get involved in a godly way, then at least you can do, and this is all important, the very least you can do is pray. Pray. Pray without ceasing, the Word of God tells us. You know, we're not hindered to the point where we can't pray. You might say, well, I can't talk. I'm dumb. I can't talk. You might relate that to somebody. You can pray anyway. God can read minds. God reads your every thought. You're without excuse. Without excuse. It's our immediate task to bear witness to the Lamb of God. To tell others, even if it means one rejection after another. Jesus commands us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Once we are saved, we know the gospel, right? Because it's the gospel by us believing in such that has saved us. We are without excuse. Every one of us becomes a missionary. Now, I'm not saying we're all going away over across the world. I don't mean that. But you can be a missionary right in your own backyard. What point is there in going to China when your next door neighbor is perishing anyway? Get those around you. Tell them of the gospel. You don't do the saving now, so don't fear for rejection. You just give it to them. I've given it to my neighbors. It's up to them to accept or reject. We can't save them. What point is there in going to a far-off land? Well, it's great. There's a lot more people over there than there is right here around our front door. To your left, to your right, to your front, all about you are those who will point the finger at you on that day and say, why? Why? Will you shed a tear then? He who is a fool for Christ is no fool at all. No fool at all. As I draw this message to a close, I would ask you to consider this. If there was any other way of salvation, rest assured, God would not have sacrificed His own Son. You got that? If there had been any other way of salvation, God would not have sacrificed His only begotten Son. Would you? Tell me. With all due respect to mothers, tell me, do you love your mama enough to go to hell with her? Or do you love Jesus more? You know, you might say, well, I love my mom more than I love Jesus. Do you? Well, can your mom get you to heaven? I'm not saying don't love your mom. Yes, love her with all your heart, but always in the name of Jesus, okay? I want to thank you for listening. And I pray that this message will take some root in your heart, Lord, and you pass it on to others. Tell them about it. Lord God, thank you for giving me this message, placing it in my heart. I pray, Lord, that all who hear it will be moved, Lord, in some way. But that most of all, our blessed Savior, my blessed Savior, will be lifted up and glorified through it. For it's in His precious name I pray and ask. God bless. Amen.